Consider one more illustration. Suppose that children are the main old age security for their parents, especially in the countryside. To ensure that old age security, the household would like to ensure a surviving son with a very high probability, which we'll put at 97%. The household then chooses the number of children needed to ensure at least a 97% chance of a surviving son. If the probability of each child dying is 1 in 5, 20%, then having one son only won't be enough to ensure a 97% survival rate. The chance of a single son surviving is only 80%, not high enough for the parent's security. Having two sons is still not enough. The chance that both would die would be 20% multiplied by 20%, or 4%, if their survival probabilities are independent of each other. The chance of at least one surviving son would therefore be only 96%, equal to 100% minus 4%. Having three sons would do it. The chance that all three would die before adulthood would be 20% times 20% times 20%, or 0.8%. There would be a 99.2% chance that at least one of the sons would survive. For families to have three sons, they would need, on average, to have six births, half girls and half boys. A child mortality rate of 20%, 200 deaths per 1,000 births, would therefore induce a TFR of 6 in this illustration. The population would soar. Of the 6 children, 4.8 will survive on average, since 20% of the 6 children, or 1.2 children, would die. Each mother would be raising 2.4 girls on average. The population would more than double each generation. Now consider the implication of a drop of the child mortality rate from 20% to 3%, 30 deaths per 1,000 births. In this case, the chance of a son surviving is 97%. The parents will be satisfied to raise one son or just two children on average. The TFR will be 2, and the population will be stable. Actually, in this example, it would decline slightly, since only 97% of the daughters would survive, and the NRR would be 0.97. Now here is the implication. A drop in the child mortality rate must be large enough to induce the risk-averse parents to cut back on the number of children. If the mortality rate is 300 per 1,000 births, they will choose to have 6 children, for the same reasons just argued. If the mortality rate drops from 300 to 200 per 1,000, they will still choose to have 6 children. The population growth rate will speed up without a decline in fertility rate. If the mortality rate drops further, to 30 per 1,000, the parents will choose to have only 2 children. The compelling case for fertility decline. There are 4 compelling reasons why the poorest countries need to speed the demographic transition, and why we need to help them do it. The first and most important is that poor families cannot surmount extreme poverty without a decline in the fertility rate. Parents may think that they are providing security for themselves, but it is coming at the cost of continued extreme poverty for their children. An impoverished subsistence family in a rural village in Africa cannot raise 6 healthy, educated, well-nourished children. The parents face what economists call a quality-quantity trade-off. With 6 children, a poor household must severely ration the investments per child. Perhaps only one of the children, typically the eldest son and none of the daughters, is able to go to secondary school. Often, all of the children will be chronically undernourished. Several may succumb to malaria or other killers because the family cannot afford basic health care and emergency transport to a local hospital. Studies find that large households are impoverished households. While the causation runs in both directions, with poverty conducive to large families and less use of family planning, and large households exacerbating poverty, the pernicious effects of large families on the well-being of the children should not be doubted. Second, what is true for the family is true for the society as a whole. A poor country cannot afford to equip its communities with schools, clinics, new roads, and other public facilities to accommodate a population that doubles each generation. A country with rapid population growth faces intense fiscal challenges just to keep up with the population, not to mention achieve economic progress. Third, the ecological and closely related income consequences of such rapid population growth are devastating. The poorest countries are rural and usually in fragile ecologies, especially dry lands. Desperately poor subsistence farmers with rapidly growing populations face constantly shrinking farm sizes that are already too small, 0.25 hectares or less in parts of Africa, to provide a farm livelihood even with the best of technologies. African farms are already the smallest in the world on average. Falling farm sizes mean falling incomes per farm family, unless the shrinking land-family ratio is somehow compensated by a sharp rise in the value of output per hectare. When farms become as small as they are in many parts of Africa today, 0.25 hectares or less, it will be extraordinarily difficult to overcome poverty through farm incomes. These communities are also deforesting the local environment in search of fuel wood. Ethiopia, for example, is now 80% deforested, overpumping underground aquifers, depleting soil nutrients, overgrazing the pasture lands, and generally mining the environment in a desperate struggle for survival. Land is so scarce that the farmers can no longer afford to leave the land fallow for several years to replenish nutrients. These problems can still be overcome by helping impoverished farmers to adopt improved technologies and diversified income strategies, but such gains will not be sufficient to keep ahead of a doubling of population every generation. Fourth, and finally, there are the threats to the rest of the world. Rapid population growth raises the pressures for mass migration and local conflict. Today's conflicts in Africa mainly reflect a breakdown of order among hungry and impoverished communities. Violence is not just a matter of poverty, but also of the age population structure. Higher fertility rates, we've seen, lead to age population pyramids with a wide base and a narrow apex. Too few elders per adolescent. The evidence points to added risks of violence and even war, a link that we will explore further in the next chapter.